97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy, 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 happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Tuesday of Cowboys Week. And today we focus on two items for the game. One, we focus on the quarterback. We focus on Carson today. And it's a good day to kind of go over the theory of Carson as Favre. I kind of want to get your thoughts on this whole concept of the quarterback play. And I heard it. It was funny. Driving in, I'm listening to the morning show, and Mark had Marcus Hayes on. I like Mark is a terrific guy. And so they're talking about Wentz. And Mark says, well, you know, he's not a top 10 guy now. He's too erratic. Well, it's funny. Yesterday, in passing, Andrew and I were talking about the quarterbacks and the top 10 quarterbacks. And I disagree with those guys. I think he's right in question. He's a top 10-ish quarterback, especially when you look at kind of what's around him and what's around the others. And which is, you can't take from the equation. I still don't know how you can judge him on, you know, and particularly when it comes to the negative piece of it, when the offensive line is what it was. And we've talked ad nauseum about receivers, right? And it goes back to, I'm watching Foles last night. And I get why Foles really made the Eagles comfortable, right? Nick Foles, and it was interesting because Nagy was they were talking on the broadcast about Nagy and some of the plays that he wants to run. And because they're having some protection issues, Nick was upset thinking like, dude, I don't have time to make these plays, you know, come to fruition. You know, basically, I'm under duress, so, you know, I don't know what you want me to do. And they have some good skill people too, right? Like those skill people, obviously Robinson, for one, is more accomplished than the Eagles. I like this kid Mooney too, who's a real fast kid, who's their third receiver. And so anyway, Nick was talking about how, you know, he's got to dial it back a little bit. And that is totally what the Eagles did, right? The Eagles, if you look at what Doug is comfortable and what appears to be, 12 personnel, right? Going with the two tight ends, sort of the matriculating down the field. Yeah, when it's going well, they got multiple backs that they're running the football, and they're going using the tight end and a lot of in cuts, right? Not a lot of shots down the field, and that's what Foles ran. You look at what Foles did. Now there were a couple plays where he went down the field in the Super Bowl, but I think that's kind of an anomaly. And I'm watching him last night, and you see, like, he can run it out. He's a professional quarterback and run an offense. His arm still isn't anywhere near what Wentz's arm is. I mean, you can see last night. His ball floats. Now, sometimes it's a good thing because it's a very catchable ball. Like, last night, he threw one that should have been picked off two different times, but somehow found its target because the ball just kind of floats almost like a pillow in a lot of ways. Whereas you saw the last couple games where Wentz wants to go and heave it, go down the field, right? We talk about chunk plays and living to go create and make something happen. And that's the complete opposite from what the Eagles were. And they certainly what they were with Foles at the helm. And I don't know if it makes Peterson uncomfortable in devising an offense where the quarterback is going to be a big-time risk taker. And it's interesting because it goes against what he is with the 2-point conversions and fourth downs, where he's, you know, the riverboat man, right? Which I never understood, because if you're like that with those decisions, why wouldn't you want more of an attack mindset? And that includes going tempo earlier than just right before halftime. Why is it that he's more conservative in play calling and the offense that he would like to run? Whereas you can see where Wentz wants to do and what, how he wants to play. So I've kind of touched on this certainly Friday, because it was on display Thursday night, and a little bit yesterday, but I want to see if you guys are on board with this thing. And being on board means you let him loose completely. No more, well, he's erratic because he makes throws he shouldn't make, or no more, oh, well, you know, you got to throw the ball away, Carson. Hurry up, treat the throw it away. No, me? Go ahead. Ball the bleep out. That means I want you to attack. I want to be in a constant attack mode. Now, look, I understand that the weapons are what they are. But he's made do, because I think Fulgham's legitimate, and Ward's got a lion as a heart of a lion, right? He's got good sticky hands. Somebody called him Jason Avant, and he really kind of reminds me of it. You can count on him to around the football. So, listen, you know, obviously their tight ends are an issue right now because of the injuries. But I just assume go and attack Hightower. Go ahead. He made the big catch last week. Keep going down the field. And I know it can be, I know the risk, and it feels wild, but I embrace that. And I'm curious if you're going to embrace that kind of football. Or would you play more of the conservative angle of it all? I want to go wild. And I just want him to attack, attack, attack. That's what I want to be. I've kind of always wanted to be that. I've always wanted to go more down the field and bigger chunk plays. I've never been in love with 12 personnel or RPOs or any of that. And listen, I'm not saying it's ineffective. There's two schools of thought in which how you can be. And I just, well, give me more risk. I'll take more risk. And there are going to be times when he gets sacked, and there's going to be times when he throws a pick. But I don't care. I've come to peace with that. That's how I want to play football. And I'm curious if you guys are on board. Now, the flip side is, when we take a look at the game, is going to be the Cowboys. And the Cowboys, as you know, the state, right? They've been getting trashed by everybody, right? Every pundit that's got any kind of TV show, whatever, they have killed the Cowboys. They didn't come to Andy Dalton's rescue. They haven't done it. You know, they're imploding. They're sniping the coaches, ratting out the coaches to the media, the whole thing. So here it is. On this game, it comes down to, and I still think the Eagles match up better and will win the game, but it's going to come down to one thing. Do they have any guts left? Do they have any pride left? Do the Cowboys? Can the Eagles stamp out not just the present, but perhaps part of the near future, where they're going to have to make big decisions regarding their own team? Because the Eagles, if they beat Dallas Sunday night, can send them into a tailspin where they quit the rest of the season. And it could actually, I mean, have deep impact on their coaching staff. Remember, McCarthy signed a 5-year deal, and there's already people that go, get him out. So the Eagles could add in a big way to that drama in Dallas with a convincing win Sunday night. Good morning, Tunis.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
They're putting up 30, Eagles. Maybe closer to 40.
See, I agree.
They're rolling.
Dude, I agree.
They are rolling this weekend.
I agree.
Big stage, Sunday night football. They have something to play for, right? It's a feel good going into the bye week. Yeah, they're gonna roll.
Sunday night. I agree. I think they destroy them. Whether it's, and again, we'll see if the backup, if DiNucci's starting, or if it's going to be Dalton if he gets cleared out of concussion protocol. But to me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter at
because
all.
Because I don't think Dalton's a guy that you fear. And I just think protection-wise, I don't know. Are they going to get better?
No. No, that offensive right? line is just banged up. There's no way.
And their defense blows. So I'm expecting a monster win as well. And I'm expecting, Andrew, for the Cowboys to quit after the game.
I think they already quit.
Well, again,
I think they already did. Zeke, we talked about it yesterday
right.
at length.
But here's the thing about nabbing the premature quit. Now, obviously, they were pathetic against Washington Sunday. But they had one opportunity to right their ship. They got one opportunity to show pride. As bad as it's been, we've talked about it, they are still alive in the division. If they beat the Eagles, they're still alive. And the fact the game's a Sunday night game. So, as bad as they looked yesterday, they have one shot to make it right. And to me, if the Eagles trounce them, which I expect, that should send them spiraling into oblivion.
I love to hear that. I really do. I think you're right. I mean, I part of me does think
well, you
that
understand
some of these guys quit. Yeah.
They have a shot, though, as bad as they look.
Oh, yeah, they're right there. They're 2-5. They win. What, they'd be 3-5. The Eagles would be 2-5-1. So they'd be in first place. And plus, they got the head-to-head. So, yeah. I mean,
the fact that the game is on Sunday night.
Yeah. So does Zeke want to go out there and not be embarrassed on Sunday
night
football?
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
It's pride, right? We're talking pride, Butch.
Bleep pride.
Well, that's what it is. So it's the measure of what do they have left. They were, and they've been beaten up the last 2 days in the media.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Being called quitters. And punks.
Yeah, I mean, more people are getting on the side of McCarthy now, more so.
Yeah, they're ripping the players.
Because they're saying, wow, the players came out, had all this stuff to say about McCarthy, and then you come out and put up 3 points against Washington.
Right.
So, yeah, the media's ripping the players, not even the coach anymore.
And they punked out when it came to their quarterback.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. They didn't have his back.
Quarterback gets cheap-shotted and nothing.
Well, yes, but if you're Dalton, you come back now. You're not feeling good about that.
Well, right.
Talk about a divide.
Well, again, that's the whole. So here it is.
I think they're done. I think they're cooked.
So, again, I tend to believe so, too. But my only point to you is that there is one last opportunity.
Right.
Because if they fail in this last opportunity, they're done. They'll completely check out for the rest of the season. Like, if you're going to get a guy's attention, it's this week.
Right.
You were embarrassed Sunday, and you got a national TV game this Sunday.
Okay.
So, you know, if I'm their coach, I go, here you go, dude. This is it.
It's up to you guys now.
You know, you want to be embarrassed in front of the nation now? You got any pride left? You want to play football? Because otherwise, just go home now. You know, that's what you say. And I don't think they match up. I think the Eagles match up well against them.
38-10, go Birds.
Which excites me. And that could push them again into oblivion.
Yeah, I think I like everything that you're saying. But I think the Birds roll, and I'm feeling good. And, yeah, that's all I really got to say. I'm in a rocket chair ride right now. I will be devastated if they lost this weekend. I don't even think devastated would be the right word. I don't even know what the word would be if the Eagles lost this Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you.
All the Cowboys fans will come back from under the rocks.
No, I agree.
So, birds roll.
I agree with you.
Okay.
All right, the idea, again, and we'll get into the Cowboys' perspective of it, but the idea of this offense and Wentz, Chunas.
Yeah, it's a fascinating conversation because I look at what happened the first 3 weeks of the season where he did hold on to the ball too long and he made some poor throws and they weren't winning. But then the last 3 weeks, right, or the last 4 weeks really, they are 2-2. Beat the 49ers. He did some magical stuff. Obviously, beat the Giants on Thursday night. Lost to the Ravens and Steelers, but Carson played well. Like, let's face it. Carson Wentz played well against two top defenses in the NFL, had fourth quarter comebacks in both of those games. Carson Wentz played well. So when you think about the first 3 weeks and you think of that Favre mentality, we didn't see the benefit of the Favre play, right? We only saw the bad throws. We only saw holding on to the ball too long, poor timing. We saw all that stuff. But now it seems like he's coming into his own with the receivers that he has. I read you the stat yesterday. Since week three, he's thrown 8 touchdown passes. Well, all former practice squad players.
Well, again, is it a coincidence that when they come into the lineup, because he didn't have Fulgham the first 3 games.
Right, exactly. But he's also now had time to work with these guys, which I'm sure goes a long way in terms of timing and knowing where they're going to be at the right spot. I mean, there's been a lot of good timing throws with him and Fulgham. Hightower, since he's been termed the deep man because Rager and Jackson have been hurt, we've seen some big plays, Wentz and Hightower. Plays that should have been caught, too, right? The touchdown in the back of the end zone, sure, that was dropped. The one on the sideline against the Ravens down the left sideline. Those were perfectly timed throws. It just, he dropped them. The one on the right side in the first quarter that he dropped.
That's right.
So we're seeing this connection. Now you just got to hold on to the ball now if you're John Hightower. So it's fascinating because we saw the negatives of the Favre play the first 3 weeks. And boy, was it negative because they went 0-2-1, and that one tie was against the Cincinnati Bengals. But recently we've seen the positives that come out of it. And I saw last week against the Giants, to begin the second half, I saw a very conservative offense. And what did they do? They went 3-and-out on the first 3 drives in the second half. And what happened once they finally, you know, loosened the leash a little bit? Carson Wentz balled out. In the fourth quarter, he balled out. 2 touchdown passes. The game winner to Boston Scott was all him. So my one biggest concern with the Favre mentality is the amount of hits he takes. Because if Carson Wentz goes down, the season's over. Now, you can say that about any starting quarterback, any franchise quarterback.
I can't even, at this point.
Right, I got you.
I can't. He took 16 hits against the Ravens.
I know, I'm not saying he's injury prone.
I can't even make that a thing anymore.
Right, but 16 hits is, oh my God, dude, that's way too many.
Listen, I agree with you.
And that's not just on him. It's on the offensive line. It's on play calling. It's on all kinds of stuff.
But again, it goes back to, and you can see why Foles worked with Doug.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it. Watch the game. You watched the game last night?
Yes, I did.
I mean, that's Nick Foles.
Yeah. 12 personnel and hitting the right guy and that kind of stuff. No, you're right. It's a very, I want to say vanilla offense because in the Super Bowl they ran some plays. But yeah, you're right.
It's predominantly conservative offense. And I think that's what Doug prefers. I don't think he likes the...
But did he prefer that in 2016? Like, I feel like it wasn't 12 personnel in 2016. I feel like he made something work with Nick Foles.
Here's the thing. It was his first year.
Right.
In 2016.
Yeah, but even before Wentz went down, it wasn't a conservative offense.
Well, that was 17. Well, you know, again, here's what I'm going to say. Now, I don't know. I'm just giving you theories. But he comes in as a first-year head coach. Let's face it, limited. He was an OC who had limited play-calling duties. I also think Andy kind of propped him up a little bit, right? But Frank Reich's there for him to lean on.
Yes.
And again, this is less Frank Reich's a genius and more that Frank Reich, Doug leaned on him a lot with certain things. And I think you saw Reich's imprint on the offense during those, you know, 16 and 17.
Yes, I agree with you on that. I do. But part of me wonders, all right, so they made the RPO work really well with Foles. And then maybe Doug goes, well, this worked really well. So this should be able to work with Carson Wentz. And I think part of that is, I don't know if it's Doug being a conservative guy, I think it's being stubborn. and we've talked about this at length. Well, I made it work with this guy. How come I can't make it work with this guy instead of...
Yeah, I don't think it's stubbornness. I think it's okay. More that's what he knows.
Okay.
Listen,
but he was behind far. You know, that's where I go.
Yeah, but there's a difference between sitting with a baseball cap on.
That's true.
And designing an offense.
That's true.
And Favre, you remember? Favre used to battle Holmgren.
Yeah.
He hated the West Coast principles and getting the ball out. He hated that stuff. He used to argue all the time. I remember the stories about him being frustrated with the offense sometime and the rigidity of the offense. So it all stands to reason because Doug was there. That whole West Coast thing he was born into. And that's what he knows. And a quarterback like Wentz, that's more imaginative and creative and less rigid and less system, I think, not scares him, but I think presents a big challenge to him. And I think that's why you see this kind of, it feels like they're not on the same page. I don't think they have a bad relationship. I just think it's a clash of styles. We'll talk about it. Curious what you guys think. Let's weigh in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Cuz Radio with Chunas. We're just getting started on a Tuesday. Let's talk about Gold Nugget Jewelers for a second because the holidays are coming up. Oh, that romantic time. And maybe you met that right somebody, right? You get the goosebumps. And you go, you know what? This is the perfect time to pop the question. Look, you have Thanksgiving coming up, all the family. You have Christmas, New Year's Eve's a popular night. So if you're thinking about buying a diamond and getting engaged, go see my man, Yaron, at Golden Nugget Jewelers. They're the 4-for-4 jewelers, official jewelers of the Sixers, Flyers, Eagles, and Phillies. And you can check them out. Perfect. Yaron will take good care of you. They have all the best designers. And he's going to give you a whole dissertation on the diamond. They got good financing programs. They'll work within your budget. Great pricing. Go ask him. Yaron will just walk you right through the whole thing. That's right. You found that perfect match. He's going to find you the perfect match for them. And then everything will be beautiful. Go to Golden Nugget Jewelers right there at the corner of 8th and Chestnut. Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
On the Comcast Business Hotline from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, does such a great job. Jeff McClain every Tuesday. Jeff, what's up, brother?
What's up?
All right. Before I get into this Carson thing I have that I want to run by you, who do you expect to play? What are they going to look like Sunday night?
Yeah, I mean, they're getting some guys back, but they're also probably losing. I mean, I've already lost some guys. It sounds like TJ Edwards, linebacker TJ Edwards should be back. Safety Rudy Ford, not really significant returnees. I'm not sure about Jason Peters and where he stands. And I'm not really sure what they'll plan to do with him. I mean, will he move back to left tackle and supplant Jordan Mailata, or would you just throw him in there at guard?
I actually like Mailata, what he's doing. I want to see him stay there.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's kind of what the argument is about some of these older guys. As they come back, do you play them or do you continue to see how the young guys are doing and look towards the future? I know you have to play for the now and try and win the division, but you know, is there a great benefit to Jason Peters going back to left tackle if he's not going to be here beyond this year? And really, honestly, he wasn't playing particularly well prior to his injury. Mulata struggled this past game. We have to be honest there. But he has shown enough to, you know, to consider him for the future. And then in turn, you know, Avonte Maddox.
I just like the way, I got to tell you, I could see him. He actually looks, listen, I saw some mistakes too. I get it. But I saw something I think I can work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, there's going to be bumps in the road here. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, just a little over 2 years ago, had never even played football, organized football, or played in a game. So there's going to be times when he's just not going to look right. And that happened against the Giants. But there are times when he's on, man, he is on because he's just a freak of nature. And you're going to have to throw him out there into the deep end, or if you want to kind of see whether he's got those tools to be the starting left tackle. I mean, you obviously have Andre Dillard once he returns, but you know, to me, I've seen a little more greater upside from Mulata than I've seen from Dillard.
So, as far as the skill guys, Rager?
I don't think Rager. I mean, he's been activated off the injured reserve list and can start practicing again, but I don't think he'll be ready for Sunday. Let's see what happens tomorrow. He's clearly a quick healer, as we saw from the last time he injured his labrum during training camp. So maybe a chance he's back. I mean, you're losing to Deshaun Jackson. You'd love for him just to kind of step back into that role, and you wouldn't miss as much. I don't know where Alshon Jeffrey thing is a complete mystery. Sanders, no, unlikely. Dallas Goedert, Deckert, same thing. So they're still going to be down skill position guys.
Yeah, the Jeffrey thing is weird, isn't it?
Mind-boggling. I mean, look, you and I talked about this many times in the offseason, and I think I even told you, I said at the time, and I didn't report this because it was just kind of hearsay, but I'd been told repeatedly that you'll never see Alshon Jeffrey play in Eagles green again, and that the Eagles are just waiting for him to get healthy before they could, you know, release or trade him. And maybe that's still the case, because it's just a great mystery to me why you would even place him on the 53-man roster at the beginning of the season and waste a roster spot. Look, I know you had a little bit of flexibility because of the rules have been relaxed a little bit in terms of roster movement. But that's a wasted spot. There have been guys that you've released and hopefully wanted to bring them back on the practice squad that have gone. Casey Tuhill is one of them. You could have had Russell Douglas on this roster. It's not like they didn't like him. And cornerback has been an issue because of injuries. Why even have a guy like that active when he didn't start practicing until the end of September? And you know, the explanation for not putting him on the PUP list was because you said, Howie Roseman said he'll be back before then. He says he'll be back before then. We still think he's a good player and he'll contribute. And, you know, you've had an illness and then now all of a sudden there's a calf injury. And I just wonder, Aaron Moorhead, the Eagles wide receivers coach, when asked about Alshon today, didn't sound particularly enthusiastic about him being ready for this Sunday. I mean, one of the explanations was, he needs to be on the active roster to trade him, but I mean, no one's trading for Alshon. At least they wouldn't trade for him for 6 weeks. Maybe as you get close to the trade deadline, you give him for a bag of balls or something, but the contract is so bad, and maybe you take on some of that contract and you can swap six-round picks and try and save face for one of the worst contracts the Eagles have signed in recent years. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with the Alshon thing. You'd think the team would want to just release him at this point because it's like not like anybody wants him back at this point. It wasn't like he was very productive before his injury last year. And you have all these young guys that you'd rather see play.
Exactly. You know, they got completely lucky with Fulgham. Like, they lucked out with Fulgham. All right, roll with them. Right? Yep. Roll with them. I don't want to see outside Jeffrey take a single snap from Fulgham.
And you may never. And at some point, maybe on a Friday afternoon, they'll just release Alshon. Late Friday news dump.
Yeah.
Just release him.
Yeah. I can totally see Jeff McClain
maybe
with us.
Play.
What's that, buddy?
Maybe they'll get, they'll have so many injuries that they'll have to play them. I don't know. But it's just a mystery at this
point. Yeah, it is. You get that right. All right. Jeff McClain with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't forget, inquiry.com. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow. And you got to read him. I got a theory, and I want to talk. They kind of crystallized off of Thursday night. And once again, Carson was ridiculous. Like, he made throws. I mean, the throw to Boston Scott was one of the eye-popping throws. It was beautiful, right?
Yeah.
And he made a bunch of throws. He's way more comfortable. We've talked about this before, going down the field. He has made some incredible plays. Now, yes, he has made plays where he's thrown the ball against his body, and yes, he's held on to the ball. I get it. But to me, this who he is, and you got to embrace who he is. He's Brett Favre. And I'm not saying you don't try to, you know, kind of coach him into Aaron Rodgers, right? Because Aaron Rodgers is who Brett Favre would be if he was perfect. But you got to put an offense and design an offense that plays to his strengths. He's got to go down the field. He's got to move. He's got to be able to freelance.
Yeah, of course, I don't know if you want to design the team to be trailing by two scores and have a battered offensive line so he has to run around. But yeah, and you make very good points. And I think that what we've seen out of Carson these last two fourth quarters against the Ravens and the Giants is the closest he's gotten to the 2017 Carson. I don't know if you agree with that.
Oh, without a doubt.
Just in terms of like some of the crazy athletic plays, yes, and great throws that he's made. What was the famous Branham Cunningham comment way back in the 90s? Let me be me.
Yes.
Maybe just at this point, you just got to let Carson be Carson.
Yes.
And there's going to be some, you know, no's, oh, yes, moments there.
Right.
But that's, I agree. I mean, I wrote it.
Live with it. Because you know what? There's more of the, oh, my God, I've never saw that throw before, or that play, than the turnover here and the turnover there. It kind of happens. I equate it, Jeff, to, if I brought this example up earlier, if you look at what Andy Reid did in 2004 when he really morphed the offense, I was real close to that, to Andy, and that during that period of time, and the offense was what it was for Donovan, right? And he was never a West Coast guy. His strengths were not that. He was inaccurate on a short ball. He had a big arm. He could unleash it down the field. And then when Andy got T.O., he had Westbrook, who was a natural space maker, and he had Pinkston, who could run a go route on the other side of Owens. And so couple that with McNabb's legs, and you had a wide-open offense. And I saw the way he just completely went wide open, and it was like a candy store for Andy. And Doug has to figure that out. When Doug was with Andy, where he cut his teeth as a coach, it was Alex Smith and that West Coast offense. That's not Carson Wentz. He's not Nick Foles running RPOs and 12 personnel.
No, I mean, I agree with you. I think that's the way Carson feels too. And maybe there's been a little bit of an internal battle there. But, you know, when I've talked to people in the organization about Carson and the mechanics of his throwing and how he throws a little too off platform at times, because he's good at throwing on the move. And I think he relies on that too much. And I feel like Carson maybe has felt boxed in by being this kind of machine-like prototype quarterback that he just isn't going to be. Nor, again, as he gets older, he's going to have to play more that way. That's just time will just decide that. You know, you don't see Aaron Rodgers like run like he used to. But for now, he's still a young guy. He's still an athletic guy. He's still better on the move than he is from throwing from the pocket. I mean, he can make some of those throws from the pocket, and you have to make some of those throws from the pocket. But that's not his strength. He's just not that accurate. and he needs to see guys open rather than throw them open. And you got to give him those opportunities. And sometimes he seems to feel better if he's moving around, rolling out, et cetera. And in some cases, just running for his life.
Right. Now, I think that makes Doug uncomfortable. Because he seemed much more at ease when Foles was running his system.
Yes. I think most coaches feel that way, though. I mean, they're there to script an offense or, you know, come up with a game plan, and you spend all this time, you have all these coaches doing that, and all of a sudden the game happens and it just blows up. Look, I mean, we should mention that Carson did that in the first drive against the Giants. I mean, that was a workmanlike drive. I mean, he was very effective there, 4 for 4, ran for a first down on fourth down, ran for a touchdown. That's kind of the controlled Carson, and he can be that guy, and he was that guy for a lot of 2017. If you recall, the Eagles scored more on their first drive than any other team. They got ahead in games, but that was a different team. That team was deep.
Had a better offensive line.
They had a better offensive line. They were good on defense, so they were getting the ball back. They just don't have that right now. And Carson's going to have to grow with all these new guys, and these are young pieces, and there's going to be mistakes made. And I think you need him probably to freelance a little more to make those plays happen, because he just doesn't have the guys, the Torrey Smiths, Ertz at his best, running backs like LeGarrette Blount. You just don't have those guys on this offense right now, and you don't with the injuries. Maybe when Zach comes back and Dallas Goedert comes back, you can do a little more of that. But I agree with you, certainly to some
extent. I'll be honest with you, I hate the 12 personnel for him. I hate it. I hate where he's got to go vertical. I've said this to you, I bet your ear a million times about the creativeness of this offense, and I think it needs a makeover. I've said it before, and the problem is that I think Doug needs a real OC to come in here and really be creative and think out of this West Coast box that he put Wentz in. But I think that also threatens his play calling.
Yeah, well, some of that has to do with personnel. I mean, you put yourself a little bit into that 12 personnel box when you drafted Dallas Goedert.
Yes.
You had two tight ends, and one is both drafted in the second round, one a Pro Bowler. I mean, you're not going to sit Dallas Goedert. So they kind of put themselves in that situation. I mean, I can't fault them. I mean, they made a good draft pick to get Dallas, but, you know, I don't know if that's going to play to your strengths. And in this league, you need burners on the outside. You need
exactly.
You need to have 11, a lot of 11 personnel, because you need to get those types of mismatches. I know the two tight ends do create mismatches, but I don't know if they create as much mismatches as they did, say, 10 years ago
exactly. That's what it feels like. It feels like they run an antiquated offense. I watch the Seahawks. I watch the Cardinals. Like, you watch these teams, the Chiefs, obviously. You watch these teams and how they attack, and they attack on a completely different level. And you're right on. Personnel's a huge piece of it. Howie's got to learn how to build a team around Wentz.
That's why I was hearing, Ertz's name was out there pre-injury. Now, I don't know if that means the Eagles were throwing it out there or teams were calling about him, but they look at the situation, two tight ends, Dak's not happy about his contract, et cetera. Yeah. You know, that's a move that they could have been willing to take. Now, that's moot because he's on injured reserve and you can't trade him, and that'll extend into and past the trade deadline. But it would have been interesting to see if the team had come to them with an enticing offer, whether they would have made it. I wouldn't have blamed them, because you got Dallas and you're thinking, okay, we got these receivers, we got to play them.
Oh, I agree.
And you got to look to the future too. I mean,
without a doubt. No, definitely. All right. Last thing, Jeff, the Sunday night with the state of the Cowboys. Here's the question: are they? And you talked to a lot of people down there. Are they this wounded animal that is dangerous, or are they getting ready to get scooped up and put in the dumpster?
The Cowboys?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can give the Eagles the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, they just scraped by a pretty bad Giants team. So anything is possible. As poorly as the Cowboys have played, as bad as things seem there in that organization, and certainly with the coaching staff and Mike McCarthy, the team looks like it's in dire straits, and now you're down probably to your third quarterback. That being said, you're getting Zach Martin back on the offensive line, which helps that unit, which has been beaten up and by retirement and by injury. And you still have three, you know, A minus A, A plus type receivers. You still have Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, this offense is still potentially potent. Defensively, they're kind of a wreck. You got Van Der Esch this past week, maybe he's feeling better by his second week back. This is an NFC East game. This is Eagles Cowboys. I mean, I don't think you can just say that the Cowboys are going to come in and you're going to whoop them, and especially the way that you've played. So, I don't think anyone's taking anyone for granted.
All right. There you go, brother. Great stuff, man. Love the conversation, bro. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy. Jeff McClain, Inquirer, Inquirer.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.